Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Today in this lesson, we are going to conclude Luke's version of the Olivet Discourse. Now, when we compare Luke's version to Matthew, we find that Matthew is much more extensive in speaking about different things that are going to happen in the last days. Different and, we could say, additional things that are going to take place. But in this scripture, we're going to see something. In Luke's version, as he concludes, he goes back, as Matthew does, to speak to disciples about their position, how they should think, that they should be watching and taking heed for events that will take place in the last days. And we're going to see that there's two additional words that Messiah speaks here in order to help us understand what he expects from believers in the last days. So with that said, take out your Bibles and look with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse 29. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 29. Now again, in the last lesson, we focus in on what's going to happen in the land of Israel to the Jewish people in the last days. And in all accounts, we know that the worst time of suffering for the Jewish people will be at the very end of this age, shortly before the second coming. But now we're turning our attention back to what he wants to teach believers, that we might know about ourselves and his expectations for the body of believers. So let's begin. Look with me to that 29th verse where it says, "And he said a parable to them." Now, this is a relatively short parable. He simply says, "Look at the fig tree." Now, we learn from Hosea that the fig tree is indeed Israel. And it's interesting because this is something additional and different than we find in Luke's gospel. Even though Matthew also commands disciples to look at the fig tree, he says something different, that is Luke. And he also says, "and all the trees." Now, what is the purpose of that? Not just watch the fig tree, but watch all the trees. And trees refers to people, or I would say in this case, the nations. And what we're going to see in the last days is that God is going to make a distinction between the nation of Israel and other nations. And I think we see that today. We see how much hatred there is in the world, anti-Semitism, in other words, for the nation of Israel. We see that the United Nations, for example, treats Israel very differently than it does any other member country. And we simply should understand from that, this is what Messiah is saying. When you see this distinction, and when you see this hatred and anti-Semitism and anti-Israelism in this world, you should know something. And he's going to tell us clearly what that is in this passage. Keep reading. He says in this same section, "Look unto yourselves," and that is an idiom which means, as you're watching and looking at the fig tree, meaning Israel, and all the other nations, as you're watching for yourselves, meaning this looking, understanding the distinction that is going to happen between Israel and the other nations, it is going to be for your benefit. So he says, "Watch unto yourselves and know that already now is the summer near. Now, what's important here is that there's a play on word that we miss when we translate it out of Hebrew. Now, I'm not saying that the Gospels or any of the New Testament were written originally in Hebrew. What I'm saying is that when Messiah was speaking, based upon something that we learn here, I believe very clearly he was speaking Hebrew. Why do I say that? Because the word for summer in Hebrew is the word kayetz. And when we look at another word, ketz, it is very similar in how it's written. There's only one letter difference. And this sometimes it is a letter that is marked as a vowel. So you could say that they're very, very similar, and it's a play on words. He's saying here, look at the fig tree, and you will see something. You will know that when summer comes near, that you're able to perceive that. And likewise, when you watch Israel, you're going to know that the end is near. What end is he speaking about? Well, we could answer that two ways. We could say the end of the church age, and we know when that's going to happen, shortly before the wrath of God begins. But also, there's the end of this world. This world is going to come to an end, and we're going to see that three things are going to happen. The first is God is going to call his son to come again, and we're talking specifically about the second coming. And in that second coming, we learn from Matthew and we learn from Mark, there's a sign for the second coming. And that is both the sun and the moon turns dark. We know there that the sun will become black as sackcloth and the moon will not give its light because it gets its light from the sun. And what is that going to happen? There's going to be darkness when the Son of Man returns, and the important thing to learn here is for the second coming. When is Messiah going to return, not for the second coming, but for the rapture? Well, I've said this many times. He will do so before the wrath of God begins. And the sign of that is similar but different. And what I mean by that is, again, the sun is going to be black like sackcloth, so the sun will not give any light, will not emit any light from it. But the difference is in the moon. The moon is going to be red like blood. When? Before the day of the Lord. The phrase, the day of the Lord, is a term that relates to the wrath of God and ought not be confused with the day of Christ. The day of Christ is referring to the rapture, or the day of the Lord, Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that speaks of the rapture. But the day of the Lord, it speaks of the wrath of God. And again, based upon what I said 2 weeks ago, we will never, ever experience the wrath of God. Why? That wonderful promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. That we, meaning believers, have not been appointed for wrath, but for salvation. And that is a kingdom experience. We are saved out of this world and into the kingdom of God. So again, he tells us to watch. We're supposed to look and learn from the parable concerning the fig tree and distinguish it between all other nations. So we're watching Israel. This is something for ourselves. And he says, and you know already that the summertime is near. Thus, look now to verse 31. Thus also you, whenever you see these things, know that the kingdom of God is near. Now, again, in this, he's speaking to believers. So when we see these things happening, all these signs, and there's many that we could go through that we've seen in chapter 21. When we see these things, we know that the kingdom of God is near. What does that mean? The end of this age, the age of the church. And for Israel, the end of this world is going to bring about a transition when Messiah is going to come back. He is going to deliver Israel. He is going to punish the enemies of Israel, and he is going to establish his kingdom. Look now to verse 32. Truly I say to you that this generation. Now, many people want to make a big deal out of this term generation. In another gospel, it's the word for an eon or an age. But generation, and we have to understand what he's saying here. When these things begin to happen, we'll see this in a moment. When these things you're witnessing, then it tells us a generation is not going to pass. Now, a generation, people will differ on how much time that is. But what he's simply saying here is, I believe, best understood with how other gospels translate. I'm speaking about other gospels, Matthew and such, and they speak about an age. So we see a different word, generation, but it's simply speaking about this time, this generation, meaning this world is not going to pass away until these things happen. And this is what he's speaking about. Look again at verse 32. Because this generation will not pass until all things shall be. And when we look at this, it speaks here about God's faithfulness to bring these things about. Verse 33. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but in contrast to the heavens and earth, my words shall not pass away. And this tells us that everything that Messiah taught, and we could say it even beyond that, everything that we see in the scripture, because all scripture is given by inspiration. We can say that more specifically. All things are inspired. Everything in the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Messiah. So everything that Messiah talked about, everything is found in the Word of God, is going to be fulfilled. So he says, the heavens and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Verse 34. Now, in an earlier study, we've talked about this word for looking. But this is a different word. This is the word proserko. What is that? It means to have to or to hold on to. And it's a term that speaks to not allowing what you're seeing, what you're witnessing, to change your doctrine. So remain faithful, in other words. Most Bibles will say, take heed. Look at this verse 34. But you take heed unto yourselves or for yourselves, and do not, and he says here, very important word, don't be burdened down, don't allow yourselves to be burdened, your hearts in, and he uses two different words. Now, both of these words are synonyms for drunkenness, but why two different words? Well, people sometimes drink for very different reasons. Some people drink because they are depressed, they are sad, and they drink in order to numb their pain. Now, that's not the right thing to do. It's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to take away your pain in any legitimate way. In fact, it's a falsehood. You'll still wake up with the same problems. But some people drink in order to numb themselves, to try to escape from their problems. You can't do that. Now, the other word speaks about drunkenness as a way of type of partying, meaning they want to have fun, and they use alcohol, again, in a way of escaping, but in a different way. Not to escape the sorrows, but trying to push down those things with living and having a party all the time. Both of those approaches are going to fail. And there's other people, and they are kind of burdened down with what? Notice what it says as we continue on. They are weighed down with what? The cares of life. They allow all these things to burden them down, the cares of life. And what happens? Well, because of drunkenness, whether it's for one reason or the other, or because of cares of life, what happens? The problem is suddenly upon you, that day shall stand. And what's interesting is that the word upon is listed here in two ways. So what it's saying here, if we try to escape, if we try to drown out things by just having a good time and trying to have all the fun that we can, or we're burdened down with the cares of this world, all of that is going to have an adverse effect upon us, because we are going to have that day, and that day is going to come upon us suddenly, and we won't be watching, we will not be ready, we will not be prepared, and we will not be persevering. So he goes on, look now to the next part, where he says, that day shall come upon us, and he says, as a snare, meaning we are going to be captured by these things, unprepared, not ready, and not watching in the way that we should. Look now to verse 35. For shall come upon all the ones sitting upon the face of the earth, meaning all the ones who are dwelling. Now, the implication here is this. You cannot escape what's going to happen. There's nothing you can do to avoid the reality that if you should be alive at that time, the times of the end, the last days, these things are unavoidable. They are going to happen. And the question is this, are we ready? Are we prepared? And again, he says to us, watch, the Greek word blepo. He says, take heed, the Greek word pros echo. And then he's going to use another one very soon. And this is probably the most informative of the words. So what is that? Well, he just tells us that this is coming upon all the world, those who sit upon all the face of the earth. And notice what it says in verse 36, a very important word. Now, this is usually translated watch, but it is a military word. And when we examine it and look at how it's used in Greek culture, it means to watch, but specifically watch for the enemy. It is a word that is used to tell us that there is danger approaching. There is an enemy, and he's coming to destroy. He is coming for the purpose of as an adversary. He wants to bring adversity into our life. He is that devil, that serpent, that accuser, and he's coming. So we're supposed to watch for him. Now, how do we do that? Well, the Antichrist receives all power and authority from Satan. And therefore, we can think of the Antichrist as a type of Satan incarnate. And we are called to watch out for that enemy. Notice what he says. Therefore, watch in all times and pray in order that. Now, depending upon your Bible, there's two possibilities of what your text is going to say here. If you're following the Nestle Allen Greek New Testament, what most modern Bibles are translated for, it says in this passage that you should be watching. Why? Well, he says, watch at all times and pray in order that you are strong enough to flee. But what's interesting, in the Textus Receptus, the Greek New Testament that I'm looking at right now, it says something different. It's a different word. It's not about having strength, but it's about being found worthy, that you might be worthy to flee all of these things which are about to be, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, what is that talking about? How do we flee these things if we're counted worthy? You know what makes you worthy? Not of anything that you do. Worthiness before God is found through the grace of God. It is found in the sufficiency of the cross. So it's when you accept that gospel message that you are going to be made worthy, and you are going to be able to flee from the wrath of God, because Messiah is going to come down. He is going to come with that shout of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and he is going to gather. He does the work. He is going to gather you and take us, remove us quickly in a twinkling of an eye. And he's going to provide a new body for us, whereby we will definitely, through him and his work, we are going to be found worthy. Worthy to escape, as it says here, worthy to flee all these things which are about to be, and to stand before the Son of Man. Look on now to verse 37. What was Messiah doing? Well, as we see in the next chapter, chapter 22, everything's going to move to a Passover context. This redemption and this payment that Messiah made on Passover for your sins and my sins. So as he knows he's coming towards the end of his time, he was speaking about the last days, talking about this transition between this world and the establishment of the kingdom of God. And therefore it says, look at verse 37, but he was the days, meaning during the days in the temple, what was he doing? Teaching. But the nights, what would he do? The nights he would go forth, meaning leave from the temple area, and he would lodge on the mountain. What mountain? The mountain that is called Olive, meaning the Mount of Olives. And what were the people doing? And I believe this is so informative. This is where wisdom is seen in this passage of Scripture. Because the people here were taking advantage of the opportunity. There was the Son of God, and he would come into the temple by day and teach. And at the night he would leave, go to the Mount of Olives, and there he would lodge. That is, he would stay there. What were the people doing? Look at our last verse, verse 38. And all the people. Now, what I think so fascinating about this, all the people. Everyone wanted to hear from him. Everyone knew the significance. Now, whether they applied the significance of his words to their life, that was an individual decision. But all the people knew that this had significant what he was saying. So look at it. And all the people, they would do something. They would rise up to him, meaning they would get up early to him, meaning for the purpose of going to him. Into the temple. Why? To hear him. And what's important about this passage? We see that there is a redundancy. They would rise up to him in order to go into the temple and hear him. In Greek, we don't need that word him two times. One is sufficient. But it's there to emphasize that they were acting in a way that showed a commitment to him. And that's why I want to ask you a very important question. And that is this. When people look at your life, do they see that you have a commitment to him? That he is the foundation of your life and the emphasis of your life? And are you listening to him? Now, that word listening, this is Greek, but I believe that this word for listening is very closely related to the Hebrew word lishmoa, where we get that prayer, Shema, which means to hear, but just not hear. It means to hear, and what you hear, we're called to respond to. And the reason why we are going through the Scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and even word by word, is because you need to listen to him. Not to me, not to someone else. You need to listen and base your life upon what you read in this book. And I guarantee you something. If you do that, if you demonstrate a commitment to the Word of God, the teachings of Messiah, the truth of the apostles' doctrine, to all of Scripture, if you base your life upon scriptural truth, you are going to be positioned in a good place, in a faithful place, where you're going to have a testimony pleasing to God. And that scripture that says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? If you know Greek well, there's a word that teaches us that he expects a negative answer, that he won't find much faith on the earth. We need to be the exception. We're called to be that special people, that Am Sigula, as it says in Exodus 19, verse 6, a treasured people. And how do we become a treasured people? By treasuring his words, by hearing, learning his words, and applying them to our life. And now, as things are changing in this world, and it's evident that we are moving closer and closer to the last days, let us be wise, let us be humble, and let us be committed to the truth of Scripture. Not just learning it, but applying it to our life. And when we do, we are going to see that that faithfulness, that submissiveness, that obedience is going to bring upon us an anointing. What anointing? The power and the provision of the Holy Spirit in our life. And one of the great outcomes of this anointing is that we are going to be given the strength and the endurance to overcome. And that word overcoming is a word that is inherently related to the concept of victory. When we endure, persevere, and overcome, what we're doing is moving into victory. What type of victory? A kingdom victory. When I look at God's word, I don't believe there's something more important than rightly understanding the last days, the end times, and pouring over the scripture in order that we would know the truth so that we could demonstrate the truth in light of Messiah's return, because we want to be servants that are well-pleasing to him. We want to be servants that have a testimony that's well-pleasing to him. And if you don't know about the last days, you're not going to take heed, you're not going to be watching, and you're not going to be doing the things to be ready for the rapture.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.